like to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Read the first 15 verses. We just want to take our thought from one phrase, but we'll read these first 15 verses. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. That's not talking about four-legged dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In this letter, Paul is writing from Rome to the church that is located in the city of Philippi. That church had sent Epaphroditus with a gift to aid Paul, to help Paul, upon hearing of his detention in Rome. And while Epaphroditus was there, he became very ill. Paul writes this letter for several reasons. He writes to thank them for what they had sent. He also wished to ease their concerns for Epaphroditus, that the Lord had healed him. And also, of course, he wrote to explain his situation at Rome. Philippians is a very optimistic letter. Paul speaks of joy many times. The word joy occurs five times, and the word rejoice occurs 11 times, leading almost all commentators to say that the theme of Philippians is joy. But that's not the theme of Philippians. In the 104 verses of the letter, Paul refers to Christ over 50 times. Christ is the theme of Philippians. He's the central character of the book of Philippians. The theme of the letter really is living a Christ-centered life. And this is where that joy that Paul speaks of is found, living this Christ-centered life. Now, Paul, in writing of his own circumstances in Rome in chapter 1, tells that he was strengthened and he was rejoicing because he knew that Christ was being magnified in his imprisonment. In exhorting them, he also exhorted them to be unified as a church. We see that in Philippians chapter 2. And again, he refers to Jesus Christ. In our text, he warns, beginning with verse 2, against legalistic Jewish teachers. And he warns against, in verse 3, becoming proud of so-called religious or spiritual accomplishments. He then goes on to say that in verses 4 through 6 that he once depended upon these things and these so-called religious accomplishments, and he was very proud of them. But he was a changed man, and he had come to the personal realization of the value of a life in Jesus Christ. Verses 7 through verse 14 are the words of a man who is taken up with Christ. It's the words of a man whose aspirations were Christ. He had an eagerness for Christ. He was in enthusiastic pursuit of Christ. These are the words of a man who was Christ-minded. In verse 15, he states his desire for others to be thus minded, that is, toward Christ. We want to take the thought of the message. He mentions it in verse 8. He speaks of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Is he speaking of the value of knowing Christ? And then in verse 10, he states his desire that I may know him. That I may know him. Now, reading Paul's epistles, of course, it becomes very obvious that Paul knew Christ. But he also realized that this knowing of Christ can never be fully reached. No matter how long we live, it can never be fully reached. And that is why we find Paul toward the end of his life still pursuing a greater and more intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to speak this morning on the subject of how well do we know Christ. And I pray that each one of us that knows the Lord as Savior would consider this question. How well do we know Jesus Christ? First of all, we want to explain the kind of knowledge that Paul is speaking of. Again, he states that the knowledge he's talking about in verse 7 is of great value. It's more valuable than anything else. There is an intellectual knowing of Christ. We can obtain an intellectual knowledge by just reading the Word of God. We obtain an intellectual knowledge of Christ. Hearing the Word of God preached, we can obtain an intellectual knowledge. By attending a church where He is preached, talking to others, we can obtain an intellectual knowledge of Christ. But the problem with a mere intellectual knowledge is that it still leaves us detached from Him and somewhat indifferent toward Christ. But be sure of this, when Paul said that I may know him, he's not speaking of a mere intellectual knowledge of Christ, a knowing of the facts concerning Jesus Christ. He's speaking of a knowledge of assurance. But first of all, he's speaking of a firsthand personal knowledge of Christ. How wonderful that I can know him personally. How wonderful that you can know Christ personally. This personal knowing Christ includes some understanding of who he is. It's a personal grasp of who he is. It's the ability to recognize Jesus Christ. So this is more than just knowing certain facts about him. Most everyone here knows about his birth in Bethlehem, knows something about his miracles, knows something about his teachings. But the question is, how well do I know him? How well do I know him? It's not how well do I know the miracle, how well do I know what the scriptures say of him. That's not the question. The question is, how well do I know him? And this is a knowledge of confidence. It's a knowledge that leaves us persuaded. It's a knowledge of certainty and conviction. We read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Let them know this for sure, with absolute certainty. It's what Paul spoke of in 2 Timothy 1 in verse 12. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. So again, we must ask, how well do I know him? Do I know him well enough that it fills my life with certainty? Fills my life with conviction? He was also speaking of a knowledge of personal experience, a knowledge of personal relationship. He's not just speaking of a mere acquaintance, and we've said this before. People today, I know him. They shook his hand once 20 years ago, and they'll say, I know him. No, you don't. And that carries over even into spiritual matters. So he's not just talking about a general acquaintance. He's not talking about just a general awareness of him. He's speaking of a knowledge of personal relationship, a personal association, a personal connection to Jesus Christ. A knowledge that brings a close contact with him. A knowledge of a warm friendship with Jesus Christ. A knowledge of kinship. So the knowledge that Paul is talking about is more than Christ just being a topic of conversation. It's more than Christ being just a theory or a doctrine. He was real. He was a real part of Paul's life, and Paul desired for Christ to even be more so in his life. This is the knowledge that we're talking about. It's a knowledge we so know him that we're able to converse with him. Someone again, I know him. Do you know him well enough to pick up the phone and call him? We need to know Christ well enough to converse with him, to confide in him, to be in agreement with him. Again, people will say they know somebody and they don't even know what the person believes. What do you know? Again, we're talking about a knowledge that causes us to know who He is, what He is, and causes us to be in agreement with Him, and causes us to feel a closeness to Him. Again, how wonderful that we can know Him in such a way. But that leaves the question, how well do I know Jesus Christ? He was speaking of a knowledge that impacts behavior. A knowledge that has a connection to the blessings of God. Notice in the book of John, chapter 4, we have recorded part of the conversation between Christ and a woman of Samaria. This woman could see, just by observing, from verse 9, that Christ was a Jew. That's all she knew. That's all she knew concerning Christ, that He was a Jew. And He said in response to her, in verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is. If thou knewest what I have to offer, if thou knewest who I am, that saith to thee, and then he goes on to say, thou wouldest have. If you knew who I was, you would have done such and such. In other words, had she had a clear knowledge of who He was, she would have done something differently. Her knowledge, or lack of in this case, and what she did are inseparably linked. That's still true today. Now, he goes on to say, thou wouldest have, and he wouldest have, given thee. In other words, at this moment, her lack of knowledge caused her to miss a blessing. Thou wouldest have, and he wouldest have, given to thee. There is a blessing in knowing Jesus Christ. In knowing Christ in the way that we're speaking this morning, it changes, or it has an effect upon behavior. To really know Christ, we'll do things differently. Carefully consider the object of this knowledge. Paul said that I may know Him. He was pursuing a deeper, more personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. We must ask and we must examine ourselves, am I pursuing to know Him more? Am I pursuing to know Jesus Christ more personally? We are talking about Christ, the message of the Word of God. Christ, the Son of God. Christ, God Himself, the Eternal One, the Immutable One. The One who is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're talking about the One who was pointed to all through the Old Testament. He's the seed of the woman. He's the offering of Abel. He's God's provided lamb. He's the altar. He's the great I Am. He's the Passover lamb. He's the manna that God rained down upon Israel. He's the rock. He's the great high priest. He's the one, if you were to take a walk through the tabernacle, He's the one who's portrayed all through the tabernacle. He is the cities of refuge. He is the kinsman redeemer pictured in Ruth. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and the brother born for adversity in the book of Proverbs. He's the altogether lovely one in Song of Solomon. The sure foundation in the hiding place, and the rivers of water in a dry place in the book of Isaiah. He's the Lord our righteousness in the book of Jeremiah. And the Ancient of Days and the fourth man in the furnace in the book of Daniel. He's the Lord of Hosts in Hosea. The hope of His people in the book of Joel. The restorer of His people in the book of Amos. The buried and risen one in the book of Jonah. The ruler in Micah. The stronghold in the day of trouble in the book of Nahum. The justifier in the book of Habakkuk. The desire of the nations we read of in the book of Haggai. The branch, the intercessor, the Lord, the nail, the battle bow, the fountain, the coming king of all the earth in Zechariah. In Malachi, He's the messenger of the covenant. The Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. All fingers point to Christ in the Old Testament. But the question is, how well do I know Him? We can read all of these things, but how well do I know Him? To what lengths am I willing to go? How far am I willing to go to know Him more? We're talking about one who has numerous titles throughout the Word of God. He is called the Almighty. He is called the Alpha and the Omega, the Amen, the Arm of the Lord, the Author and Finisher of our faith, the Blessed and Only Potentate, the Bread of Life, the Captain of our Salvation. He's our chief shepherd. He's the creator. He's the dayspring. He's the deliverer. He's the door. He's the glory of the Lord. He's the good shepherd. He's the head of the church. He's the heir of all things. The Holy One. He's Emmanuel. Meaning God with us. He's Jesus. He's the King. He's the King of the ages. He's King of kings. He's the Lamb of God. He's the light. He's the Lord of all. The Lord of glory. The Lord of lords. He's a mediator. He's the mighty God. The morning star. The Prince of life. The Prince of peace. He's the Redeemer. He's the resurrection and life. He's the Savior. He's the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. The Son of the Highest, the True Vine, the Truth, the Witness, the Word of God. All these are titles. And all what titles belong to Him. And these titles are just an expression of the greatness of this One. But how wonderful that we can know this one who is known by these titles. But again, the question for each one of us is, how well do I know Him? How well do I know Jesus Christ? Someone will say, well, I've been saved 30 years or 40 years or 50 years or 10 years, whatever. That's wonderful. But how well do you know Him? How well do you know Jesus Christ? You spend every single day talking to someone for 30 and 40 years and looking at them, confiding in them, you get to know them after a while. But no matter how long you've known this one, you can know him more. You can know him more. So to what lengths am I willing to go to know Jesus Christ? In the Gospels, he is the one who gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, health to the diseased, liberty to the bound, life to the dead. His life, he's the one that's always been, always will be. He has no predecessor, has no successor. He is. He left the glories of heaven for me. He came to this sin-cursed earth for me. For me. He lived a perfect life of righteousness and put that to my account. Said, God, you treat him just as he had done it. He went to the cross for me. Paid my sin debt, a debt that I could never pay. For me, he was put in the grave. For me, he came out of the grave. And for me, he ascended triumphant to heaven. But the question is, how well do I know him? He's done all of this for me, but how well do I know him? What lengths am I willing to go to know him more? For me, he conquered Satan, conquered sin, conquered death, and every foe. And he satisfied every claim of the law, every claim of God. He satisfied. He loved me. Loves me. He labored for me. He suffered for me. He bled for me. He rose for me. He ascended for me. And he's promised to come again for me. But again, that still leaves the question, how well do I know him? It would seem that if one has done all of these things for me, that I'd certainly want to get to know him. It would seem that I would want to go to great lengths to know him more. So we must ask ourselves, how well do I know him? How well do I know him? Am I willing to know him more? Am I willing to do whatever it takes to know him more? You realize that Jesus Christ is the key to knowledge? It's one of the reasons ignorance is at an all-time high today. Because Christ is rejected. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the road to righteousness. He's the way to God. He's the way from sin. He's the way through this life. And he's the way to glory. Those are all wonderful things to know of him. How well do I know him? How well do I know him as the pathway to peace? How far am I, what lengths am I willing to go to know Him more? You see, it is this one named Jesus that came to me in my guilt and brought pardon. It's this one named Jesus that came to me while I was alienated from God and brought me close to God. He came to me in my unrighteousness, and He clothed me in a robe of righteousness. He came to me in my condemnation and brought me justification, or no condemnation. He came to me in my disgrace and made me acceptable to God. He came to me in my bankruptcy and brought riches. He came into our prison and set us free. He's the beautifier of life. All the lives that He has beautified. But again, how well do I know Him? How well do I know this one? What lengths am I willing to go to know Him more? Paul here in Philippians 3 saw a great value in knowing Christ. In times of hopelessness, we have found in Him hope. In times of weakness, we have found in Him strength. Times of weariness, we've found in Him rest. In times of anguish, we have found in Him relief. Times of sorrow, we've found in Him joy. Times of affliction, we have found in Him much comfort. Times of discouragement, we have found in Him fulfillment and encouragement. In times of uncertainty, we've found assurance in Him. In times of upheaval, we've found in Him peace. In times of fear, we've found in Him courage. In times of defeat, we've found in Him victory. I look at my life, and He has been everything that I've ever needed and more. He's been everything that I've ever needed. Never has He done anything to cast doubt upon Himself. Never. Not one single thing. He is faithful. He is loving in all things toward me. But again, that raises the question, how well do I know Him? How well do I know Him? In times of hopelessness, and you find hope in Him, it would seem that that would motivate us to say, you know, I'd like to know more about this one. I'd like to know Him more. Looking back on our lives and seeing that He's been everything that we've ever needed, you would think that that would cause us to say, you know, I want to know Him more. He's the way through the trials of this life. He's the way through the difficulties. He's the way through the hardships. He's the way through all the struggles of life, all the adversities of life. He's the way through all the burdens, all the calamities, all the sorrows, all the setbacks, all the battles, all the obstacles. Where would we be without Him? He is the hiding place from the wind. He is the covert from the tempest. He is the rivers of water in a dry place. And He is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And He is greater than whatever is in our lives. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He's great. Greater than whatever's in our life. And this is always so. No matter what comes into my life, He's greater than. And you know how many times He has shown Himself to be just that? Innumerable. Innumerable times. No matter what the circumstances of my life, He's the solution. He's the answer. And He's the remedy. But again, that raises the question, how well do I know Him? How well do I know this one? To what lengths am I willing to go to know Him more than I do today? Again, it's so wonderful that this one can be known by you and I. A lot of people in this world that you and I would never be given the opportunity to know. But we can know this one. And that I can know Him is an incomprehensible blessing. That I can know Him more than I do right now is a blessing beyond words. Paul knew Him, but his desire was that I might know Him. That is, that I might know Him even more. Because He can't be fully known. This is a knowledge that gives songs in the night. An intellectual knowledge of Christ won't give you many songs in the night. This personal knowledge of Christ will give songs in the night. It's this personal knowledge of Christ that awakens the spiritual senses. It's this personal knowledge of Christ that causes spiritual sensitivity. We know Him. That makes us sensitive toward Him, toward the things that concern Him. It's this knowledge of Him that produces right values and priorities. Again, Paul spoke here in Philippians 3 of the value of knowing Jesus Christ. The more you know Him in this way, the easier it is for Him to be number one priority. The more value we see knowing Christ. It is this knowledge of Him that brings satisfaction and fulfillment in our lives. It's this knowledge of Him that captures our thoughts and our emotions. Causes us to think about Him. No matter what's going on today, it just fills our mind, Christ. And we begin to think about Him. And you cannot think about Christ in this way and not have it affect you emotionally. Not have it affect your entire being. Again, you can know facts, but facts may not capture your thoughts. Your emotions. To know Him in this way causes us to talk to Him. Why don't you go talk to so-and-so? Well, I really don't feel comfortable. I don't really know him that well. That's true concerning Christ also. A lot of people can't talk to Him because they don't really know Him that well. But this is a knowledge that causes us to feel comfortable to talk to Him. You realize what a wonderful thing that is to feel comfortable talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and God Himself? And that's not because of anything in us. But we know Him. And knowing Him, we know that He allows us to talk to Him. His knowledge enables us to hear Him. Hear what He has to say. I mean, we want to hear what He has to say. It's a knowledge that we want to see Him. Again, those who went to the conference, that's been the theme the last several years. We see Jesus. What a wonderful thing. We see Jesus. You realize that if everybody came into this building, every worship service, with one desire in their heart, I want to see Jesus, how much different things would be. Just want to see Him. It's a knowledge that causes us to cherish Him. It doesn't become a contest. Christ and other things, or Christ and others. No, when you know Him this way, it's Christ. And you cherish Him. And you adore Him. And you cleave to Him. And the more you do these things, the more you want to know Him. It's just a cycle. It's a good cycle. It's a knowledge that gives life new meaning. Life takes on an entirely different meaning when you know Christ. And I'm not just speaking of knowing Him as Savior. I hope you do know Him as Savior. But a lot of people perhaps are saved that do not enjoy life. And I'll tell you why they don't enjoy life. It's because they don't know Christ like they should. We need to know Him. Brings new meaning to life. It causes us to realize that life isn't about a lot of the nonsense that the world thinks it is. It's about Him. You know, people say, again, I've been saved X amount of years, and it the smart aleck part of me wants to say, oh, you must know Him pretty well then. But sadly, that's not the case. That's not the case. It's knowledge that fills us with a yearning for Him. It's a knowledge that makes this book real in our lives. And when we know Him and we read, I mean, you open the Word of God, and when you know Christ in this way, you don't miss Jesus. You see Him everywhere. You see Him everywhere in this book. And oh, what a wonderful thing. And when I know in my heart that I can open this book and see Jesus, that causes me to want to open this book. Because I know I can see Him here. To know Him causes us to fall in love with this book. So we must examine. This is a personal question. We can't answer this question for others. We just need to answer for ourselves. How well do I know Him? You think of all the experiences, as many as you can, that God has brought into your life, and all of those are opportunities to know Christ in a different way. To know Him a little better. All the experiences that God brings in our life means things that can aggravate us. And you know, those are opportunities to look for Jesus. I can know Him. So we must ask, how well do I know Him? Do I know Him well enough? Any time of the day, I can talk to Him. I can talk to Him. And feel comfortable in doing so. If we have sin in our lives, you can't feel comfortable in talking to Him because you know it offends Him. To what lengths am I willing to go to know Him more? What lengths? How far? How far have I gone to know Him? How far am I willing to go to know Him? I believe that, you know, there are those who have seen it firsthand. There are those who their time to leave this life has come. And perhaps they suffer greatly for months, weeks, whatever. But if they get close to God, they can know some things about the Lord in those times that you and I can't. Again, view every experience as an opportunity. I can know Him. I can know Him better. I can know Him better. Even when we fail Him, even when we sin against Him. And we go to Him in repentance and He forgives us. That ought to teach us something about Him. It ought to cause us to have a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ. People are so worried about their children learning the things of the world. Oh, they've got to get an education. I'm here to tell you there's things more important than knowing those things. And that is knowing Jesus Christ. Knowing Him. How well? How well do I know Jesus Christ? I've been saved 42 years. But that's really not the big thing. Well, it's a big thing. Don't misunderstand me. But how well do I know Him? 42 years. Some have been saved longer than that, some less. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, how well do I know Him? I'm afraid a lot of times someone can say, well, I've been saved 20 years, and they don't know anything. You know what that tells me? You've wasted a lot of time. You've wasted a lot of opportunities. 42 years, and I've wasted, believe me, I've wasted many opportunities to know Him better. We all have. But may we go from here this day examining ourselves, how well do I know Him? And to what lengths am I willing to go to know Him more? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.